Hello and welcome to a very nice 69th episode of Golf Pod Kentucky. My name is Ethan Fisher and we're going to dive right into this episode by spotlighting our 2023 Kentucky PGA Special Award recipients. Each of these folks was spotlighted on Monday at our Deaver Easy Go Spring Member Conference at Griffin Gate Marriott. We had a great day. Thank you everybody who showed up and hopefully you all got something out of it, whether it was at our education sessions or something from the business meeting. We had fun and we hope all of you did too. But yeah, special award winners. The list of everyone who won an award this year is as follows. We've got Kevin Greenwell from Seneca Golf Course getting the Bill Strasbaugh Award. For the second consecutive year, Tom Lane from Fox WDRB is the Media Representative of the Year. The Youth Player Development Award went to Barry Payne from Hopkinsville Golf and Country Club. Donnie Caldwell of Wasiota Winds Golf Course is the recipient of the Player Development Award. The Teacher and Coach of the Year is the Women's Golf Coach at Western Kentucky University, Adam Gary. Tim Reeves is the Patriot Award winner for all he's done with PGA Hope, namely PGA Hope Louisville at Quail Chase Golf Club. The Sales Representative of the Year is Davis Bunn from Ping. Tom Walters from Summit Hills Country Club is the Private Merchandiser of the Year. The Public Merchandiser of the Year is Matt McCready from Man of War Golf and Learning Center. Kelly Williams from Greenbrier Golf and Country Club doubled up with awards, getting the Golf Executive of the Year Award plus the PGA Professional Development Award. Also from Greenbrier, Kyle Smith. He is the Deacon Palmer Award recipient. And then the Golf Professional of the Year Award, the highest honor bestowed by the Kentucky PGA to its members, went to John Mullendore, the head golf professional at Indian Hills Country Club. If you haven't seen it already, there is a video made that documents Mully's life and career in golf. Highly recommend you watch that. You can find that on our website or any social media platform that we're on. And if you want to hear directly from John, I would point you towards the podcast that I did with him last June. A lot of that was centered around the Clark's Pump and Shop Kentucky Amateur, but there is plenty of talk about things addressed in the video, and I think you would get a pretty good sense as to why John got this award as well. So congrats to John, but the focus of this episode is the Assistant Golf Professional of the Year, Chad Douglas from the Club at Old Stone. Chad has been with Old Stone for 4 or 5 years now, and he's been tremendous there. Seems like he really thrives, and his playing ability is certainly nothing to shake your head at either. So let's go ahead and hear straight from the man. Please welcome Chad Douglas. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on the 2023 Kentucky PGA Assistant Golf Professional of the Year, Chad Douglas from the Club at Old Stone. Chad, welcome aboard. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you for having me, Ethan.
Absolutely. Happy to have you here. And, you know, the Assistant Professional of the Year honor, this is certainly not a slouch award by any means. There is a distinct list of members who have gotten this that you are now joining, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But in order to get there, I think we first need to get the groundwork on why you like golf in the first place. So growing up as a little youngster, where did you get your raising completed, and what got you introduced to golf?
Thank you. Well, I mean, first, born and raised in Louisville, kind of moved out of Louisville whenever we moved to Mississippi, and then now in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which glad to be back in Kentucky for last couple of years now. Growing up in Louisville, I was not a golfer. I don't really think I would say I picked golf up much until maybe almost, well, definitely in high school. Played baseball, played basketball, but my stature does not lead to be great in those sports at all. And golf was a challenge that was fun. My mom and dad have been super supportive of anything I've ever done, gave me many opportunities to play many sports. And my dad was a minister of music at Westport Road Baptist Church. And really, I got started playing with some people he knew, playing with people at the church. The people I would say influenced my golf would be my dad, obviously, just taking me, Larry Percival, David Mitchell was super influential about taking me to the golf course, good player that Just I like to be around. And then later on, whenever I got to high school, would be my high school golf coach, Jim Thorne, which, you know, for me, it was getting to learn how to play golf. Certainly was not good at all. We went to the putting green over at Seneca while the high school team was doing matches and just chipped and putted. And, you know, I got to kind of gradually come along and get better throughout my 4 years in high school, which then led me to kind of take a jump and go to St. Catherine to kind of play golf there for a excellent golfer in the state, Hall of Famer, Joan Reiser. So just kind of got, I was fortunate to have people that were very influential, supportive, to kind of just help me grow.
Certainly helps when you've got the list of names that you just mentioned. There's a lot of who's who names in there. Joan definitely heading up that list. So I have a feeling that with them steering you along the way, they probably kind of gave you the glimmer that joining the golf industry would be a good idea and something you'd want to do. So what exactly made you want to become a PGA professional?
Golly, I mean, a lot of it had to do with playing at first. You know, I mean, we were never members at a country club, but would play here and there at some of the places around town. You know, a lot of it for me was just, I enjoyed the game. It was a challenge. I also played tennis growing up, and without somebody else of equal ability, tennis isn't much fun. You know, so golf was kind of that outlet to be able to play and play with anybody. And it just kind of allowed me to kind of keep going. And luckily I had the opportunity, to keep going as well, from high school to college, and things like that. I mean, it was never, I'm going to say, a plan. It just became an opportunity. And, my first opportunity was working for Josh Schneider at Oxmoor Country Club, which, I believe that was his first head professional job, and he was getting going, and there was just the hustle. I think it would be the part I liked about it before. There's always something new, whether it be merchandise, junior golf, teaching, daily play, just the hustle of it was fun and kept something to do. So then it just became a profession for me.
Okay. One thing I want to ask you about that I thought was interesting was that you said that you grew up playing public courses, and it's not much of a spoiler alert that your professional career has consisted of working at a lot of private clubs. So this may be a little difficult to answer given the fact, I don't know if you actually have worked at a public golf course, but how would you kind of describe growing up at public courses and then working on the private side of the industry?
My first job was at Indian Springs. So okay. I was outside and then became an assistant to the general manager, basically. We did not have a golf pro there. Barry Bonifield was there while I was outside, but he moved on to another opportunity. And there was a general manager there. So I got to, I mean, I don't think I was old enough to order the beer yet. But I was in the, you know, I was there facilitating things that people were older than me could take care of those things, which, you know, that was the great thing. I did get to see, I mean, I grew up playing that golf course as a kid, and, I had that opportunity to do all those things. Now moving on, I started at Oxmoor with Josh, and that opportunity was awesome. The members were great, very supportive of anything we did. Got to play golf with a lot of, you know, at the private clubs. I mean, just like at the public clubs, there's tons of successful people. And my interest in those people, their interest in me, just made it a good fit. Josh had come from Louisville Country Club just prior to that, I believe, and worked for Scott Sedgwick. After I left Oxmoor, then I did move to down to Tennessee for a brief stint now it was Fairview Plantation, now Tennessee Grasslands, great facility. And then I had the opportunity to come back and work for Scott. But I think the biggest thing for me is the memberships that I've been able to work with have been so supportive of me. that it's just kind of kept me in the private side of things. Not that there's been a plan for that, but you know, what I've been able to do has been so much fun, and the people I've worked for, the mentors I've have had, or, you know, I mean, that's where they are. So, you know, the people I've got to, you know, just learn from, that's the side of the business they're in. And that's where, you know, all the opportunities I've had have been from.
Well, with Louisville Country Club, that's not the worst place to go and drive into work every day. I can think of a lot of other places that aren't nearly as nice or have the kind of people that they have there. And you spend quite a bit of time at LCC during that second stint working there. Can you kind of describe that experience and what it was like being there every day?
Yeah, it was fun. We had, golly, while I was there for 9 years. So whenever you say stint, I had the longest tenure there with Scott for a while. I think Logan has surpassed me now. But, you know, aside from working with, you know, working for Scott, I got to work with a lot of great assistant golf professionals that some of them now are other places. Blake Watts, Kevin Grants, all the, you know, got a lot of good people just to kind of learn from as well. I would say for me, you know, if we give the baseball reference that Scott always liked, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer whenever his time comes for that. He is awesome. He's just the preparing golf professionals. You know, I think whenever I walked into the door, it was very interesting because he kind of gave me a lot on my plate, and it was almost trying to figure out how much I would take before I'd ask for help. And I think that's what Blake gave me a nice bit of advice later on about saying, hey, look, we're all here to work together. So, you know, having the ability to work for somebody like him, where he prepares you for, you know, everything, whether it be daily play, teaching, merchandising, you're going to get your opportunity at all of it. You know, it was one of his things for merchandise is, you know, you're doing this. He owned the golf shop, owns the golf shop. So it was funny. He said, you know, if you screw up on something, you're only going to make that mistake once, because you don't want to cost me too much money. And and that was always fun because, you know, you learned, you know, you did your research on things. You made sure you knew what you were doing for whenever you had the opportunity to own a golf shop and, or, you know, at a high end facility that, you know, has a lot of volume. You're not scared to, you know, run your process and make sure you know what's going on, make sure you can handle the situations and everything. And, you know, that's what he did for me, is gave me a, you know, probably the most solid golf background in business and just being able to get out and play with membership that I could possibly have asked for.
Well, one thing that certainly separates you from a lot of golf professionals is the fact that you took your time as an assistant. You were an assistant for about 10 years, and then you became a head pro, and it wasn't too long after that where you decided, you know what, I want to go back to being an assistant. And I think for a lot of people, there might be an ego factor there where it's like, man, I can't be an assistant pro for any more than 5 years. Like, I need to become a head pro, a director of golf, whatever it is. So I guess why do you like being an assistant professional? And I know the answer is not that like you're afraid of leadership or anything like that, but can you kind of walk me through your state of mind when it comes to that role?
I think whenever I being an assistant, I don't know that it's it. I would say, you know, that the assistant's role is what I'm looking for. Obviously that goal is to get back to head professional position sometime. That opportunity for me is the important thing. It matches up for me, what I'm looking for, what my family, what's going to work best for my family. You know, the move from Louisville to Mississippi was definitely one I thought about a lot, because it was not Tupelo. If anybody knows where Tupelo is, it's kind of the northeast part of Mississippi that not much is around. You know, as far as it's a big area for Mississippi, and I'll go, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about Tupelo Country Club in a little bit, 'cause it was great. You know, that that move was good for my family at the time. My wife, we just had a little girl, so it was a perfect time for us to move. My wife wasn't working at the time due to having our little girl, so it was a great opportunity to take on other challenges. You know, once I got to Tupelo, we found out for her, and I'll always say this, one of our tough things in Tupelo was Target was an hour and a half away. So my wife was not the the keenest on Tupelo, or I mean Tupelo with Target not being close by.
It's a red flag for a lot of women.
Yeah, that was probably the toughest thing. But Tupelo allowed me kind of like Louisville Country Club, is new experience. I was the head professional. Whenever I got there, a guy named Chris Harder had done a good job there as well, with the club. So it was more to grow, learn things. The stuff I learned at Louisville Country Club as an assistant, I was doing as a head professional, you know, running the process, learning how to evaluate the golf tournaments, learning how to evaluate the merchandise, which I owned the golf shop while I was there. Learning to evaluate something as simple as club storage. I mean, the simple things that you might take for granted, learning how to do things better. And, you know, at Tupelo Country Club, we had openings in tournaments. Well, while I was there, luckily, we had a waiting list for every tournament. Things got busier, you know, so it was a great opportunity. There were a ton of people down there that were incredible to me. The Reeders were a super nice family to me. The West family, super nice family to me, and encouraging and supportive. Tons of other members that, I mean, I couldn't go into that were super supportive. And the crazy thing, I think one of the coolest things while I was down moving from there, getting to see that I didn't get to see at Louisville Country Club was, I mean, I got to watch a future PGA Tour player practice and get to see what he did as his game grew, and how he helped the juniors evolve. You know,
who was that?
There to practice and do that. That was Hayden Buckley.
Okay.
So Hayden's had a lot of success on the PGA Tour, and he's just a super guy. I mean, whenever it comes down to it, and being able, he kind of mentored some of the juniors. And, you know, whenever he was in high school with that club, I mean, the playing abilities down there is incredible. I mean, one high school team had Hayden went to Missouri, I believe. Noah West went to Ole Miss. And then you had Fletcher Johnson and Austin Rose that went to Mississippi State. And then Wilson Reeder, I believe he walked on at Mississippi State as well. So, I mean, a high school team having five guys that went to SEC schools, I mean, that's incredible. Now, they were all in college when I was there. But, I mean, you got to see these guys practice, got to see how they did things. And then moving back to here at Old Stone, I mean, you know, that chapter closed down there. And this was a unbelievable opportunity that I was – presented with from Kevin at the PGA show, and it's back home. It's back in Kentucky. Old Stone, I always knew, is a unbelievable facility. Mr. Scott has done a great job here with, you know, creating every opportunity anybody could want. And, you know, it's home. So it was a great opportunity. And once we got back here, my wife's in real estate. So we've had the opportunities where I was at Louisville Country Club and here to move somewhere else, but it just hasn't been right for the family. And that's kind of my thought of sometimes why I haven't really made that jump again yet.
Well, Old Stone is not the worst place to be either. You've certainly had good luck when it comes to working at facilities that have that certain mystique about them and just like, kind of give off the glow of excellence. And I made the comment when Kevin joined me on this podcast last fall that Old Stone just kind of seems to always want to be the first ones to do something, like a very revolutionary type club, I would say, in this state. So you've been there for 4 years now. I think this is your fifth season at Old Stone. What's it like working there compared to the other places you've been at?
You know, I mean, like everywhere else, I mean, the membership has been unbelievably supportive of the golf professionals. I mean, you know, whenever you're somewhere that people like you, want you to be here, appreciate things, there's something to be said about that. You know, I mean, golly, being at Old Stone's great because the golf facilities are unbelievable. So if the goal is to get better at playing, if you can't do it here, you're going to struggle at places. You know, I just had a great opportunity here, and working for Kevin, I knew Kevin from playing at one of the section championships, and we might have played before, but he was a super nice guy, easy to talk to. You know, like to play golf. Obviously, I'm getting to see, as with my family, his family having three children. I mean, it gets busier, and sometimes time's not there to play as much golf. But you know, here having the chance to work at a U.S. girls junior was an unbelievable opportunity. Got to see what goes into that. You know, also you see a lot of things happening even before COVID, we were getting busy, but once COVID got here, I mean, holy cow, this place has changed a ton. Having the opportunity to kind of start the junior golf program. I mean, cause that's one of the things I got to do at Louisville Country Club. It's just having the ability to do things that interest you. And then also having a great staff to work with. I mean, right now we've got, you know, I'm going to say of all the staffs I worked with, probably the most, I've worked with some great people. As far as complete staff, as far as our skill sets, Sean Miller is an unbelievable club veteran. I get to kind of help with that, you know, I guess piggyback off his expertise. And then Nathan is unbelievable at tournament operations and then the outside operations, having everything going. I mean, I couldn't ask to work with two better assistants as far as our skill sets covering everything the operation could need. That way I get to kind of concentrate on a little bit more of the merchandise side and then help with club fitting, help with outside operations. You know, it's just a kind of a complete team atmosphere with where all our skill sets lead right now, and it makes it fun. And then obviously Kevin's a great guy that, you know, just allows us to kind of do our thing and you know, just coaches us up to kind of be good at what we do. I mean, no matter what it is.
I kind of want to summarize everything you just said, because there's a lot of different programs or tasks that were thrown out there. With an ordinary day in June or July, can you kind of walk me through what your schedule would be like during the day when you're on the job? And then on the other end of the spectrum, what's it like during January or February when it's a bit quieter?
Golly, I wish a bit quieter was actually it. no, but you know, during the season, it's a lot of just getting in early and then kind of getting set up for the day. You know, let's prep for the day. Let's be ready to go, no matter if it's 9 o'clock or 2 o'clock this afternoon. Let's see how far ahead we can prepare. And then it's, you know, the day might switch up a little bit. You might have club fittings. You might have teaching. I mean, we've got a great junior golf program, great kids here. I thought Tupelo had a lot of great players. We looked at the list of the handicap not too long ago, kind of getting one of our members had asked about with, you know, there's a lot of great players here. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, single digit handicappers we have. So, I mean, it could be anything from setting up and getting ready for, you know, if it's a tournament on a weekend, doing that, the junior golf on Tuesday or Wednesday afternoons or Saturday evenings. I mean, that's the fun thing about it is the day is never the same. This in June or July, you get to the winter time, we just added a TrackMan simulator downstairs. So we had a winter golf league that, you know, I mean, was great or is great, still going on. Having a lot of fun playing that, and all the golf professionals are involved in that on different teams. So this winter probably was not like any of the other ones where it slowed down as much. You know, whenever you look at, I guess December does is Christmas, but I mean, October, you're getting ready for spring merchandise, ordering all that. And then you turn around in January, February, March, you're ordering for fall. So, and there's always something to do. If I told you it ever got real slow, then I'm probably not doing what I need to get done.
Well, it helps to be good at your job when you have a lot of enthusiasm for it. And I think it's clear for people who have known you for years or people who are maybe just listening to you the first time right now, you have that energy that makes it unique to be successful and to ultimately win the award we talked about at the top, which is the Assistant Pro of the Year honor here. So this is obviously a big deal. Like, I think if we're going to, you know, quote unquote, rank the special awards, this one's top two. What does it mean and how does it feel to be getting this recognition?
I'll tell you, it's neat. I mean, it's definitely neat. I mean, I haven't really, I got a call from Danny Barron, which, you know, other than Scott Sedgwick, I mean, a lot of influence, get to talk to Danny here and there, but, you know, spent a lot of time at the PGA show with Danny, and it was nice to be able to get that phone call from him and him go, I can't believe you've never won this before. Which was nice, but, and kind of, you know, nice that he thought of me that way. Somebody that, you know, as a golf professional that probably I look up to. But it's, I'm going to say an important award. There's a lot of guys that have won this award now are back as head professionals now. So I think it's a great thing as a resume builder, people getting to know your name, stuff like that. The other side of it is I've been nominated a couple of times for it, but it hadn't, even those didn't change how I look to the next year. I mean, there's golf professionals that do a great job every day. So, you know, it is a outstanding award, but it's one of those ones that, you know, golly, I look forward to this year. You know, I mean, maybe is it going to change anything for me? I mean, it's a very cool award and I'm super excited to have this award, but golly, I mean, I look forward to this year like I look forward to any other year. And just trying to, you know, each year is going to be my personal best, I guess, whether it be signing, having more kids, being junior golf, doing, you know, in merchandise, selling more merchandise, have more members play golf at the club, whatever that is. I mean, it's, we're looking to achieve better than last year. And this is just a great award that just kind of says, hey, you did a great job, in my opinion. And, you know, does it raise the bar? I mean, I guess people's expectations of me, yes. So hopefully I can meet those going forward.
One thing that's not on the description of what it takes to win this award, but is something you have, is a decent amount of playing ability. And I think a lot of people who listen to this are probably aware of the fact that you're going to be playing in the PGA Professional Championship about a month from now in New Mexico. It's going to be you, Jesse Massey, Mitchell Moore, Tom Walters, and the PPC, obviously, for any PGA member is a big deal. And this is going to be your first time getting to go and play in this sucker. If you play great, then all of a sudden we'll be watching you at Oak Hill in May. So can you kind of talk to me about what you're looking forward to about that week coming up in New Mexico and just the lead up in terms of how you're getting prepared for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately we haven't had the greatest of golf weather lately, and I haven't been further south this winter to play, but I guess once. And you know, we're taking every opportunity to kind of get out and play whenever I can. Done a ton of work, you know, with Sean, getting the bag ready. I mean, I didn't really think about it too much until we started talking about things, but you know, getting ready for this tournament's kind of different than any other tournament I've ever got ready for, because I mean, if you play in Kentucky, I mean, what's things like the elevation going to change from one area to the other? It might change a little bit. You might, you know, whatever, but I mean, this is like a totally different climate for me. Whenever you talk about the altitude and how the ball's going to fly differently. So we've been preparing the bag. I mean, Titleist and Will Loggins has been super great to me on sending me what I need, but it's, you know, I'm adding a 7-wood versus having a hybrid, just the process of, you know, what's launch, what's spin, using TrackMan's an unbelievable tool in Kentucky to get ready for New Mexico. So how the ball is going to fly and everything, being able to adjust that altitude, knowing pitch shots, something as simple are going to fly a little lower because, you know, and come in a little hotter because the spin's not there. You know, so things that I didn't think of before that I'm having to prepare for, which is awesome. And just being in that group of people that you listed, I mean, they're unbelievable players. I mean, I feel like I'm just tagging along on this one and hoping lightning strikes a little bit, but super looking forward to it and, you know, doing whatever I can to prepare, to get ready. We'll knock the dust off a little bit more once the weather breaks a little bit. But I mean, I get to go out there and the guy's caddying for him. He's named Robert Sutphen, and he was an assistant pro with me in Tennessee. So I get to spend a week with a buddy, and get out there and have a good time, which is going to be a blast.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't realize that about the caddy, but that is one of the unique things about this tournament is how people can get connected to these people who they've known, whether it's through their personal lives or their professional lives. So good on you for that. But I did want to clarify one thing. I was looking at it while you were talking. The elevation of San Andy, New Mexico is 5,249 feet, which is just shy of what Denver's is, which is kind of the moniker of what people look at altitude wise in this country. So it's you'll definitely be getting that full 10% in terms of a little discount on your drives.
Yeah, we're looking forward to, like I said, I mean, we've been, you know, I've spent more time in this winter checking things out than ever. I mean, usually I'm just, man, getting a simulator and get to have fun, hit some balls, get the body moving a little bit. But I mean, we've spent a lot of time getting the fit right, ready for this tournament.
Very cool. And then following up on the section championship last fall, which got you to this point, it was at your home club of Old Stone. And I don't think there are any Skip Bayless type people in Kentucky who are going to be like, oh, well, Chad Douglas was on his home course. Like, this has an asterisk next to it. I don't think there's any of that going on. But how cool was it getting to compete in our section's most prestigious tournament alongside those guys you mentioned at the course you work at?
Oh, that was cool. I mean, I you know, if anything, I mean, I thought for me, this was probably, yeah, we've played this tournament a lot. I mean, and it's, you know, probably my best opportunity, getting to play here and, you know, knowing things as much, but I mean, you know, even here, it didn't start off great. Had I been at another golf course, I might have panicked a little bit more. But I mean, I think I've played the first six or the first three holes on the combined day at 6 over. So I mean, it was not ideal to start, you know, way to play those, the one through, I guess it was, no, maybe it was the first four, one through four. I mean,
You rubbing. Parred number one somehow, which I don't know how is possible. And then you made four straight bogeys from two through five. So you and I were actually tied after five holes, except you went on to finish tied third and I was tied 33rd. So you found a way to play the last 31 holes better than I did.
It was definitely, there was some home course advantage. I mean, it definitely paid off and the wind started blowing kind of the last day back nine for us. So I mean, I had a good group to play with. Got to play with one of the teaching professionals here, Chris McCune. So that was kind of fun. That was the first round I'd actually got to play with him, but it was comfortable. We were having a good time, and I mean, it was even something as simple as, I think we walked off 11 or 12 and after missing a birdie putt for the two or three holes inside 10 feet or right around 10 feet. And it was like, holy cow, I just can't do anything. You know, it'd be nice if feel like even par would have been pretty good today. And I think I was 3 over at the time for the day and proceeded to have a tap in on the next hole, made a 4 footer and then made a 10 footer. And we walked off 15 going, here you go, bud. You asked for it and you're there. Let's see what we can do. And, you know, had some opportunities coming in to finish a little lower. Didn't capitalize on those, but I mean, I did need a little help on that day. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, three over whenever we got off of 15 wasn't sniffing it at that time. And, you know, I mean, Old Stone has its ways of getting its hooks in you late and causing some chaos, and it happened, and I got kind of lucky and fortunate to kind of get in a playoff with Tom. And I mean, I've played of everybody, I've probably played with Tom a couple more times and been around him, and he's such a nice guy that it's kind of like whenever you're playing for one spot, that's one of the people I hate to play against, because mm-hmm. he's such a good dude and good player. But you know, consistency wise, even in the match, or I mean, even in the extra holes, I mean, that's one of the most consistent golfers we have in the section as far as playing against. And you know, I got through and won that one, and I am super thrilled to be able to go out and get to play practice rounds with those three guys. Cause I think he was telling me that he'd been the first alternate. This is the second time. And I mean, I'm thrilled he got in this time and get to play golf and spend some time with, you know, like you said, those three guys.
Yeah. It worked out well that you two were in a playoff for that third and final guaranteed spot. And then just through withdrawals in between then and now, there have been enough spots to have opened up for Tom to make the trip with y'all, which is great. As he said, he certainly deserves it, arguably as much as anyone here in this section. One last question about the PPC itself. I don't think too many people out there have ever planned a trip from Bowling Green, Kentucky to Santa Ana, New Mexico. So what is the itinerary in terms of how you're getting there?
Oh, we're getting out there as quick as we can. Luckily for the club here and, you know, the golf professional staff here is basically full support and said, you know, is whatever you need to get, whenever you need to leave, get out there and get ready. So, I mean, I think we're going to fly off the Monday before and spend as much time prepping as I can.
Are you taking off from Nashville, or are you going somewhere else to get there?
We're going out of Nashville. No direct flights, unfortunately.
Shocking.
And no private opportunities there. So no. So we're luckily it's not going to be too bad. I think we'll get up early on the Monday, get out there, and then come back. Hopefully I get to extend that one a little bit. That'd be the best thing of, you know, anything we can do. But don't want to come back too early.
No.
That's the goal. Spend as much time in New Mexico as I can. And, you know, I've never been out there, so I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun opportunity, like I said, and a new experience that hopefully I get to do again. I mean, hopefully this isn't a kind of a one and done thing where I don't get to do it again, but we've got so many good players in this section that, you know, I think for me, it's, you got to appreciate the opportunity and enjoy it, because this is tough to get to. I mean, just to get out of our section is, you know, there's been so many guys that have, I'm going to say, had locks on some of these positions. I mean, Keith Orr, Blake Watts, I mean, Grover Justice. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have played in these and are great players that, you know, whenever you get a chance, and heck, Andrew Stevens, I mean, you want to take and, you know, enjoy as much as you can, because you might not get a chance for a while or ever again.
I've got one advice question I want to ask you based on when we were talking about playing Old Stone. Hopefully a decent chunk of people listening have been able to play Old Stone before, but for those who haven't, the first hole there is probably the toughest starting hole in Kentucky. I would venture to say it is an absolute beast of a par 4. As I referenced earlier, you managed to par that in the first round. And could you please shed some light as to how to properly play that hole? Because I do not understand how you can get it on the green in two and get down in two for par. So what on earth should people do with that hole?
Golly, hit the fairway first. Starts there. And then, you know, I mean, it's such a hard hole depending on which tee box you play. I mean, if the further up, the more risk you actually, in my opinion, kind of have to take. The further back you play it, it kind of, again, for me, it opens it up. I mean, I'm not as long as some of the longer hitters, but, you know, you've got to know kind of the number you're looking at off the tee, get the ball in the fairway somehow, and then, you know, give yourself the best chance on the green. I mean, it's, you're looking at middle of the green a lot for that one because, you know, it's got a front that kind of, I'm not going to say complete false front, but I mean, front and left, I mean, it'll roll back off on you. And there's a lot of areas to miss the green and not be so desirable. But, you know, more or less to me, it's, if I can get out of there with bogey and keep playing, we're good. The next is a par five. So I'm not upset if it turns out to be a bogey on the first. It's just such a difficult hole that you just don't want to make too big of a mistake and ruin the whole round in the first 5 minutes you're on the golf course.
Yeah, good advice. I think taking a five there any day if you're offered is a offer worth accepting. So that does it for my regular list of questions for you. I do want to get to rapid fire with you, Mr. Douglas. No explanation or reasoning for any of these answers is required. Just give me the first thing that comes to your head. First question up, you're not allowed to say any golf course that you currently work at or have worked at in the past, but what is your favorite golf course in Kentucky outside of those facilities?
Ooh. Golly. I like playing Paducah Country Club.
Yeah, great answer.
I haven't, very good one. As a junior, I mean, I didn't get a ton of opportunities, but as a pro, I got to. So awesome.
Yep. Pro scratch on April 17th for anybody who wants to tee it up there. Highly recommend it. What is your favorite golf course outside of Kentucky?
I would say Torrey Pines.
What's your dream foursome and what golf course would you all play?
Golly, dream foursome. My dad got me into golf, so my dad has to be in it, even though he doesn't play anymore. Probably gonna say, obviously, Tiger Woods. Gotta add Scott Sedgwick in there because that's kind of my, you know, the person that influential in the golf business. And God, you can almost name anybody. I mean,
well, that's three people right there. The three of them plus you, that's a foursome.
Yeah, well, there you go. We didn't even think about that. Don't play as much. You caught me on that one.
What golf course would you all go to?
Oh, just any golf course. It doesn't really matter. I'll have fun anywhere. But Seminole was a fun one whenever I played in Florida.
If you're playing a normal round of golf, are you going to be walking or riding?
Riding now.
What's your favorite golf book?
Favorite golf book? Golly. You stumped me on that one. The last time I read a golf book, you know, outside of golf, it's there's not many golf books. Unfortunately, sorry.
What's your favorite regular book?
Favorite regular book. Man, you're going to stump me on everything.
This is not a good look, Chad.
I'm not, I know. I'm a video guy. Reading's not my jam.
Fair enough. We'll move on. I'll stop putting you on the spot for tough questions.
No, you're fine. Those are good questions, though.
Are you a UK fan or Louisville fan?
Oh, Louisville all the way.
What kind of golf ball do you use?
Pro V1X.
What's your favorite vacation spot in the world?
Golly. Florida is awesome. Anywhere. Give me a beach.
And then last question for you, is there anything that you and your family have been streaming or binging on Netflix or any other streamer as of late?
Golly, you know what? Since lately, not as much. I mean, if my family has anything involved, it's Disney. So you can Disney Plus is the way to go in our household, it seems like. And I don't really have that remote too often.
Well, that might be for the better. It's important to make the little ones happy.
Yes, golf is not on their radar for TV right now.
No, it's okay. They've got plenty of time for that. Well, Chad, it's been a distinct pleasure being able to talk with you. Congrats again on the Assistant Golf Professional of the Year award. In all seriousness, it's very well deserved, and we're very proud of you for the great work you've done with golfers. And I'm sure that it's just a small sample of what's to come the rest of your career. So thank you for that and everything else. But really enjoyed having you on here, buddy.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you very much.